Moving my head.
Yeah.
I'm laying it off.
Love that too.
I'm pronating.
When you're not supinating.
I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair. I look like a fool.
What the hell do you think you look like shooting them chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass?
Well, we're waiting.
What is up, golf fans, and welcome back to another episode of Fairways and Dreams. This is the Thursday podcast, and I'm your host, Jeff Hartman, which means this is all you got. This is me, this is a microphone, and my thoughts on the game of golf as it pertains to everything from the PGA Championship coming up this weekend. We're going to have a lot to talk about there, as well as managing life in golf, and that's not always easy. Before we go any further, I want to remind everyone out there, if you're listening to this on any platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, if you could drop a 5-star, I would really love that. Just give a rating. Do appreciate it, and it does help. On Apple Podcasts, commenting, giving a positive review is really, really important. And then also, check out golfergang.com. You know, on Tuesday, I had Ryan Coulot from the Drop Podcast, Golfing in the Garden State. And I've had some other podcast hosts from our network, and I plan on having more as we continue to grow. But all those podcasts are going to be right there for you at golfergang.com. So go and check that out so that you can get a taste of all that we have to offer, not just my podcast. Again, golfergang.com. All right, let's get right into it. Managing life in golf isn't easy. Yeah, we got a lot of news to talk about. We'll get into all of that, the PGA Championship. But today I wanted to start off, this is something that really hit me hard this past week. So as you get older, you know, I mean, there might be some young people out there that are listening to this podcast and this doesn't really apply to them, and that's okay. We've all been there at one point in our lives. But there comes a point when if you choose to get married, if you choose to have a family, things get dicey and priorities change. I did an entire podcast about that. But life in golf, it doesn't always mesh. Unless you're a professional golfer, or you work at a golf course, or you are a teaching pro or someone like that, it's just really, really difficult. Whether you're talking about managing family, so your kids, the wife or significant other, you're talking about even dogs. So I'll give you an example. My brother, who's married, doesn't have children but has a lot of dogs. Yeah, you can't always just leave them, especially if they're older dogs and you're going to be gone for 4 hours. That's a problem, and that can be an obstacle. Not to mention also your job. What does your job entail in terms of how many hours are you working? Do you have to work on the weekends as well as during the week? All of that can play a role. And the one thing, too, is that when you're talking about family, you know, you're talking about family. This happened to me recently. Like, I haven't golfed, haven't been on the golf course. I've hit golf balls. I haven't been on the golf course in over a month. It's been over a month since I've gotten out on the golf course. And there's a lot of reasons why. But I've told myself, like, okay, you got to make moments, right? You have to make moments sometimes. You have to be willing to say, I'm not going to, the work thing can wait for a second. I'm going to go make moments with my family. We'll talk about that here in a second. I think the other thing that we have to think about, and this is something that we're going to touch on during the Q&A portion of the Thursday show. I had someone ask me on Twitter about an injury that they suffered, probably due to golf. They're learning the game. Your health can play a role. So I don't know if anyone knows this. Probably, unless you're my immediate family, doesn't. I had about, this was probably during the month that I haven't, probably about a month ago, maybe a little bit further back than that. I was putting away some dishes. This is what I get for putting away dishes, by the way. And I cut my finger, run the index finger, my dominant hand, my right hand, index finger right below the knuckle. And it was like a steak knife. It was just a little cut. It was enough that it bled, so I put a Band-Aid on it, and I moved on with my life. And it seemed like it was all healed up. And then probably about 4 or 5 days later, this thing started to get real sensitive, started to get swollen a little bit. Next thing you know, you see like one of those little blisters showing up. It's that sack of pus, right? And that shows you what? We have an infection. We have an infection on the finger. So now what? Like, what do I do? So I decided to err on the side of not going to the doctor. And I'm just going to try to figure this thing out on my own. That thing swole up. I mean, it got really swollen. My whole knuckle was swollen. It hurt to bend my finger. And that little blister started to get larger. And it got a little bit larger. Finally, we were able to kind of get it under control, and then it slowly started to get better. But during that time, gripping a golf club would have felt like it would have been extremely painful. And so health and how you feel can impact life in golf. If you pull your back out, whether it doesn't have to be golfing, it could be something that you do at work or at home. I think it was Max Homa was giving some unsolicited advice to Scottie Scheffler, who he and his wife just welcomed their first child. And he said, "Hey man, dad back is real. You got to be careful carrying the kids." Yeah, you can pull your back out doing a lot of different things. So the health absolutely plays a role in this. But I want to go a step further. It's not just the family. It's not just the work. It's not just the animals. It's not just the health. It's the fact that I think a lot of people that are like me, I'm a very busy guy. I still love the game of golf. I am unbelievably torn all the time. You get moments. I talk about creating moments. We'll get to that. But you have these moments where you're able to go out and, you know what? I think I could probably go golfing Friday. Like, I think my work schedule is going to be flexible. I think I'm going to be able to get that on Friday. And then what happens on Friday is there's an opportunity to do something with your family. So maybe it's a short road trip that you're going to go somewhere. Maybe the wife and the kids want to go for a hike. And so now all of a sudden you're torn. In your mind, you had it all planned out. You're going to go golfing on Friday, and you can do one of two things. You can either say, "Enjoy your hike, I'm going golfing," or you can say, "The golf can wait. Let's go. Let's spend time as a family." Typically, in my history, just me personally, I tend to go with the latter, and I end up going with the family, and therefore putting golf on the back burner. But there was a lot of times where this past month and a half, I said to my wife, "I should just sell my golf clubs. I won't get much money for them. They're so old, but I should just sell my club." She goes, "Why?" I said, "I haven't golfed in over a month." She goes, "Yeah, it's been rough. It has been rough." But it just takes it. There are other things, factors that also play into this. First, the golf takes a long time. If you're riding in a cart and you're playing 18 holes on a weekend, it's at the fastest 3.5 hours. Maybe four. Now, you have Lauren Kupp on my podcast, the speed golfer. She'll tell you that she runs a lot faster than 3.5 hours, and she does. And that's speed golf, and that's different. But for those of us that enjoy slow golf, sometimes it can be really, really slow. And then it's expensive too. So sometimes justifying to a family member, especially if things are tight, crap is expensive now. Like, food is expensive. Gasoline for your vehicles that's expensive. Sometimes they can't justify spending that money, whether it's $60 for green fees in a cart or whether it's a membership to a club. It doesn't matter. It's expensive. So what are the answers? What are the answers? You know, I talked about making those moments. Sometimes you take your family. Just take your family. There have been times where I've wanted to say to my wife, "You know, it's a Friday. It's a beautiful day after dinner. Let's all go and go. Let's all go to the course." And now my wife's probably, "That's the last thing I want to do." But all the kids would play. My wife would get to see them, and she'd be able to walk. She's not a golfer. She doesn't golf, but she'd be able to walk along and enjoy the, it's beautiful at our golf course. That's an option. But if that's not the case, you can take kids, take them to chip, to putt, to hit balls at the range. You can take them out on the course if you want. That's fine. I think another factor into this is you got to be responsible. So when it comes to balancing, managing life and golf, I think you also have to be responsible with your own actions, with your own behavior. So to get the green light to golf more, you can't say, "Well, I'm just going to go out. I'll be right back. I'm only going to play 18 holes." And next thing you know, it's 8 hours later and you haven't returned home yet. That's not going to help. If you're single, who cares? But if you're in a relationship or married, that can be a problem. Not to mention, you know, you might come home drunk. That's not going to help. But I think that it comes down to the questions. And I feel, like I said, I feel so torn sometimes. You get opportunities to play in tournaments. And again, the tournament's $85. Do we have that type of money right now in this part of the month to be able to go out and play in that tournament? Or if you're a golf trip, the golf trip's going to cost almost $500. We're going to drive here. It's going to cover golf, whatever. Is that something that you want to do? It's difficult sometimes when those moments that you want to create, not just with family, but with friends and buddies and in your golf group, it's difficult to try and manage all of that. we all probably feel torn in more than one way as it pertains to the game of golf and managing the game and our life. For some people, it's easy. For some people, they don't care. And that's their own prerogative. They just will say, okay, after work, I'm going to go golfing. And they don't get home. Whether they're married and have kids, they don't care. And that's, again, that's your prerogative. For me, I feel unbelievably torn with the game of golf sometimes, and especially with how long it takes. And it's just, it's difficult. That's all I'm saying here is I don't have all the answers, because every single family situation is different. It's unique. But I can honestly say that it is really, really difficult for me. For me and my family, with my job, with the fact that I have five children, it's really difficult for me to just say, you know, I'm going to go golf. I'll be back in 4.5 hours if it's busy on a weekend. And then what do the kids do? You know, are they coming with me? No, it's tough. I wish I had an answer. So speaking of health, let's do a little Q&A here as we do every week. My buddy on Twitter, he's a big Steeler fan. He calls himself Ryan Fern. I'm not sure if that's his actual name or not. He said that he has just started to golf and he has some serious pain in his elbow. Now, this always makes me think of my dad. My dad, who's been golfing his whole life, there was one time, I can't remember how long ago it was, he was having some serious elbow pain. And he went to the doctor and the doctor said, oh, you have tennis elbow. And he said, tennis elbow? I've never played tennis once. I don't play tennis, I golf. He goes, well, it's not golfer elbow, it's tennis elbow. So golfer elbow and tennis elbow, they're on different sides of the elbow. It all is based on inflammation of the tendons. It's based on a repetitive motion. So you think about golf, you're the same swing every time, unless you're putting and chipping. Same with tennis, with the forehand, backhand, it's the same type of movement. Really, it doesn't matter the sport that they're calling it. And a lot of times rest will take care of everything. Give it some rest. Help it out as best as you can. Sometimes ice makes it feel better. Sometimes heat makes it feel better. Each person's different. I would say you just give it a rest. Once it's not as inflamed, you can go back out there. Can there be some tweaks to your swing? Possibly. I don't know what your swing looks like. So ultimately, that's probably why your elbow hurts. You could go to the doctor if you want. They might give you a little brace. You might have seen people that have that upper forearm brace that they wear. A lot of times that's preventative measures so that they don't have issues again. Take that for what it's worth. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that too much. But thank you very much, Ryan, for putting that out there on social media. Wanted me to answer that on my podcast. So I did that today on this Fairways and Dreams podcast. Now, I'm going to say that because a major tournament's coming up, I'm going to bypass our book study. So the Zen Golf book study is going to be put off a week. We'll be back to it next week. Don't worry. We'll be back. But in the meantime, Zen Golf, if you want to read it, go read it. It's a great book. But otherwise, I want to focus on the news around the PGA Tour and the upcoming PGA Championship and some bets for you if you want to wager some money on the PGA Championship, the second major of this year. And so let's start with the news, right? Rory McIlroy, all the whole crew, it's a full field. It's a major championship. Everyone is down there at Valhalla. Now, we'll talk about Rory in a second, but I wanted to outline Valhalla Golf Club a little bit for everyone out there that might not know about the course, where it's located, who designed it, what are the characteristics of the course. So Valhalla Golf Club is in Louisville, Kentucky. A lot of people don't know that it's in Louisville, Kentucky, but it's a Jack Nicklaus design. Most people don't know that. It had the 1996, 2000, and 2014 PGA Championship. So this is a course that has housed a lot of majors and has also housed the 2008 Ryder Cup. So this is a championship golf course, not a public course, by the way. It's a par 71 with from the tips is almost 7,400 yards. Everyone's been talking about the 200 and I want to say it's 240 some yards par three on this course. This is a long golf course. Max Homa put it best, and so did Justin Thomas, who is from Louisville, that this course is a course where you have to hit the ball a long ways. And even then, you're going to have to be challenged by the long irons. And can you get close enough with those irons? So this is going to be a distance game, as well as it's going to be an accuracy from an approach standpoint game. So that's what brings us into the player stuff. So now all the players are down there and they're talking to the media, and we don't get a lot of access to the players that are on live. We don't get access to a lot of players all the time. And so now they're all in front of the microphones. Tiger Woods saying everything that we think he's going to say, how he thinks he could win. But Rory McIlroy was making some waves off of the course as well. So he not only won last week, and I was wrong about that. I said I wouldn't bet on Rory McIlroy. And honestly, we're waiting to see my picks this week, but Rory played well last week, and he dominated the field, finished the final round in tremendous fashion. You know, he was a good win for him at Quail Hollow. But Rory's also now, according to TMZ, getting divorced. So not only was he not able to get back onto the board committee for the PGA Tour, but he's also going through some stuff in his life, whereas, hey, he might be getting divorced. The tee times are out for the PGA Championship, and you can take a look at them. They've got players on the front and on the back. Tiger is I think he's coupled with like Adam Scott. There's a couple big name groups. You'll be able to check those out anywhere where you get your information about the PGA Tour. But probably the most poignant comments were from Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm sat up there in front of all these reporters, and they asked him about being on the other side of things. John, what's it like being on the other side? And he said, "Y'all say that. I don't understand really what you mean." He essentially said, you know, I'm still a PGA Tour member. I'm just suspended. I've told you all before I would play in PGA Tour events if I could, but I'm not permitted. So I don't feel like I'm on the other side. I still support the PGA Tour, yet I just am not a part of it because I'm suspended. And I think everyone in the golf world had that tire screeching sound at the moment that he said that and kind of like, wait, what? Say that again? Jon Rahm, you are saying that you are still a PGA Tour member. You still support the PGA Tour. Then why didn't you stay on the PGA Tour? If you're so supportive of them, why would you ever leave? That doesn't make sense. There's nothing that lines up here. Jon Rahm has basically said as much as he could. It's almost like if someone were to say, hey, John, I want you to show me that you regret your decision outside of your bank account without coming out and saying, I really regret my decision. Everything that Jon Rahm has said since the Masters, the lead up to the Masters, all the way up until what he said leading up to the PGA has been just that. He wishes that Liv played 72 holes. He doesn't like the music. He wants it to be more traditional. The dude wants to be on the PGA Tour. He just could not turn down the $400+ million that he got upon signing with Liv. Man, that he came off looking unbelievably bad in those comments. That's what everyone's talking about, and rightfully so. He said after the Masters, man, I don't know why everyone's like upset. Why is everyone upset? Well, everyone's upset because you left. So now you make these comments. It's not going to help with your popularity around the PGA Tour, John, just so you know, giving you a heads up. All right, so Jon Rahm aside, we're getting geared up for the PGA Championship. As I said, the second major of this calendar year. And when you look at these odds, this is interesting. This is really unique. Now, anyone that does any type of gambling on the game of golf knows that for the majors, there are a ridiculous amount of odds on things that you wouldn't even think of. You can bet on whether there's a hole in one at all recorded during the four rounds of golf at Valhalla. You can bet on players individually finishing in the top five, top 10, top 20. We'll be doing some of those during this segment. Also, you have individual specials for like Tiger Woods, where you can bet on, does he have a bogey-free round, a bogey-free nine? Does he make the cut? Does he not make the cut? It is crazy in terms of all the things that you can bet on. So what I give you here is just scratching the surface. If you really want to dive deep into the analytics and the betting world of golf, you can do so much more than what I'm talking about here on this podcast. So let's get this out of the way first and foremost. Scottie Scheffler, even though he didn't play last week, he just welcomed his first child into the world with his wife, Meredith. He is still the odds-on favorite to win at plus 400. I've said this a million times. I said it all the time on our Pez's Picks podcast, which you can go check out Pez's Picks anywhere where you get your podcast. My buddy Pez, who was on leading up to the Masters, betting on the favorite is boring. Scottie Scheffler is probably your best bet, and that's why the odds are so good. So plus 400 is still really good odds. You can still win a lot of money. Why? He's accurate. He has the length off the tee. Unbelievably accurate. I think Tiger Woods put it best when you look at how he worded Scottie Scheffler. He said if he's putting poorly, he might finish in the top 10. If he's putting decent, he's probably going to win, and it's just going to be a matter of how close is it going to be. And if he's putting great, he's going to run away with it. That's how Tiger Woods said that. Not anyone else. Tiger Woods said that. So Scottie Scheffler plus 400, while I don't want to say he's the favorite here, he is the favorite in the tournament. And my gosh, it just seems unbelievable that that just seems like the smartest bet there is right now. Now, I'm going to give you two others, though. You want to increase your odds. I think Rory McIlroy, I can't believe I'm saying this. It makes me want to throw up. Rory McIlroy is plus 750. I really like Rory. He's won here. He won in 2014 at Valhalla, winning the PGA Championship. He has won here. That matters. And he also won last week. Now, I didn't go back and I didn't look at the history of how players who finished the week before did in the PGA Championship. Didn't really pan out for me when I looked at the Masters and all that stuff anyway. So I just didn't, I abandoned that philosophy, but I like Rory at plus 750. So you want to play some odds on the favorites. You still have really good odds. If you put, I don't know, a 20 spot on Scotty and a 20 spot on Rory, you have really good odds and you could win some money. Now there's another one in terms of favorites. It's plus 1600. A lot of people would say this guy isn't going to win anything. And it's because he's a live golfer and they only play 54 holes, whatever. Brooks Koepka's plus 1600. Brooks Koepka being at 1600, he's won on live already this year. And while he didn't play great at the Masters, I feel like this course sets up really well for him. The Masters is a unique course in terms of how you have to place your shots and where you can miss and where you can't miss. And Valhalla just is more of a, it's long. So let's reward the length. Let's see who can pound the ball the most. And I think that's why it sets up well for Rory and for Brooks Koepka. They both are ridiculously long off the tee. And so for me, it's I like these two bets, including Scotty, obviously is a favorite. So Scotty Scheffler plus 400, Rory at plus 750, and Brooks Koepka plus 1600. What about the long shot? So now we're looking at plus 2000 or greater for the long shot odds. I'm going to go with someone that I was hesitant. Missed last week because of a knee injury. I don't know if that was preventative or what, but Ludvig Åberg at plus 2,200. I feel like this young man is just going to step up. He's just going to step up and he's going to rise up and he's going to be in the mix. Plus 2,200. And then Max Homa at plus 3,500. I like him too. I liked him last week. He played well. He wasn't up there in the top 10, but he played well. So I think his golf game has been really good this season and he's really been playing well as of late. I like Max Homa and Ludvig Åberg for my long shot picks at plus 2,200 for Ludvig and plus 3,500 for Max. Now, there were some others, though. If you want to maximize your return, right? So you want to just, hey, I'll put a $5. I'll put $5 down on this guy, and let's see what happens. If you put $5 down and they win, you could turn it into some serious cash. Phil Mickelson is plus 50,000. Don't forget, it was just a few years ago that Phil won the PGA Championship. Shocked everyone. Plus 50,000. Tiger Woods is plus 40,000. Tiger Woods, if you're a Tiger fan and you think, I think he could do it. I think Tiger could win it all again. Plus 40,000. Now, a pick, if I'm talking at a really, really long shot. So we're talking about these type of odds. And it's plus 40,000, by the way. I don't know what it is. Nick Dunlap, he's a young guy. Remember, he won early on the tour, had to choose whether he wanted to go back to Alabama or whether he wanted to go pro. He chose to go pro, and he hasn't won since, but I do think that, honestly, he has a really good shot. And again, you're talking about plus 40,000. If Nick Dunlap, it goes out and plays lights out, which he is capable of playing, and he goes out there and shocks everyone, think about what that $20 bet on Nick Dunlap to win or $5 bet at plus 40,000 odds would pay out. Think about that. Those are super long shots. We're only going to do those in the majors. So let's look at the specials, right? Let's look at the specials. This is where you can have more than one player being in the top 10, or you could have two out of three being in the top 20. It all depends. And to be honest with you, I looked really hard at certain players' odds to finish in certain realms. So singular players. So let's go over these specials first. I went with the top five. So top five, John Rahm is plus 270 to finish in the top five. John Rahm, you would think that after the Masters, that was kind of his first tournament back after going to LIV. What's it going to be like? He's got that out of the way. He's still a really good player, and he can still play in courses like Valhalla. I think John Rahm, including ties, top five, plus 270 is not a bad bet. Let's do top 10. Sahith Theegala is plus 410. Plus 410 to potentially finish in the top 10. Really like this, and that's some solid odds at plus 410. I think Theegala is playing good golf, and he might be right there around that top 10. Remember, including ties, that does count. So forward plus 410, I like those odds. Top 20. I like Jordan Spieth to just be in the top 20. He played better last week as well. Plus 220 odds for Jordan Spieth in the top 20. Now let's take a look at some of those combined bets, right? So if Colin Morikawa and Max Homa both finish in the top 20, plus 310 odds, I like that pick. Also, Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka. Notice those two names were two names I gave you for favorites here. Finishing in the top 10 is plus 310. So there you have those odds as well. Now, a lot of people might say, okay, Jeff, what about Tiger? What about? So I actually looked at the Tiger specials. I didn't like any of them. But I will say this. I will be honest. Tiger Woods is the type of guy that he could probably go out and he could probably come really close to playing well on this course as long as his body holds up. Not sure if that's possible. I don't think he can win this tournament, but here's the specials I have for Tiger. It's not even his specials, but I looked up his odds to just be in the top 20. Top 20 finish, including ties, Tiger Woods is plus 480. That's not a bad bet. If he can stay healthy, that's not a bad bet. It's a big if. I understand that. But every now and then you have these guys that just come out of nowhere, like Michael Block last year. You know, I mean, no one saw him coming. He had an incredible run just to be able to play in the PGA Championship. Then he goes out. He has a hole-in-one playing with Rory McIlroy, has an unbelievable finish to qualify for this year's PGA Championship. How's he going to do? I'm not putting money on him this week, but is there going to be another Michael Block this year? Someone else that comes out of nowhere and shocks everyone? I don't know. You have to remember something about these picks, because I've had people say, these picks are bogus. You guys don't know what you're talking about. But the truth of the matter is that I'm not just trying to tell you who I think is going to win. I'm telling you who I think are good odds to win that's going to win you some money. So there's a reason why with Scotty at plus 400, plus 400 is still good odds. But if you can get Brooks Koepka plus 160 or 1600, I'm sorry, Brooks Koepka goes out and wins, now all of a sudden you've made a lot more money. And that's what we're all about here, trying to help each other out if you choose to bet. Either way, I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I think this major is set up to have a really crazy finish. And don't forget that if things were to go to extra holes, I saw this, I forgot all about it. I think it was back in 2000. I think it was Bob May and Tiger Woods. They had just finished. They tied, and they were told, we just passed this year. This is a three-hole playoff now. And they had to play three extra holes. It was really exciting. Tiger Woods ended up winning in 2000 at Valhalla. So this stuff happens. This could be a really crowded leaderboard, which could make for a very, very exciting Sunday, a very, very exciting finish. I'm excited for this. And I'm actually going to be able to go out and golf a little bit early next week. So hopefully we'll have that to talk with you on Tuesday for the two-man scramble. I'll be back with a guest who that is. Not sure yet, but be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, enjoy the PGA Championship this weekend. These majors go by so quickly. Pretty soon we'll be in June talking about the U.S. Open, and it's going to be a lot of fun, but let's enjoy the PGA Championship first. But you know how we finish out these solo podcasts that I do. Be safe, be kind, God bless, hit them straight, and we'll see you next week on another Fairways and Dreams podcast. Take it easy.